Hallelujah. It's the truths of God's Word, and it's God has visited man fresh and anew, and it's been 100 years ago plus when the Spirit of God began to be poured out upon all flesh, fresh and anew. The early 1900s, you can go and you can read about how men and women begin to pray, they begin to seek God, and God began to reveal Himself to the church in a greater measure and a greater way again. Hallelujah. And it just really began to spark, and the flames began to spread, and Pentecostal churches began to come and spring up everywhere. But now here we are on the backside of the outpouring of Azusa Street. And where's the Pentecostal church? I'm fearful that they have forsaken the fountain of living water for their own cisterns. You know what a cistern is? Anybody know what a cistern is? If you're my age, you probably do. If you're Isaac's age, you probably don't. Because a cistern was the way that you stored water. You dug a hole in the ground, lined it with cement, anyway, the ones I saw, and then you take and put guttering on your house, and you pipe it all into the cistern. And that was your source of water. And it, sometimes, you know, if it sat there too long, and you didn't get any rain very soon, sometimes it didn't taste real good. It had a tendency to stagnate, start stinking. When God said you've forsaken the fountain of living waters, that's talking about a spring that continually brings forth fresh water flowing and bringing life everywhere it goes. And, you know, a man-made move is one of the most dangerous things for a church. I've seen it. I've watched it. And I've seen the destruction that follows it. In my short time of pastoring of 25 years, I've seen it happen to multitudes of churches. What you and I have, you need to cherish. Because the fountain of living waters is flowing in our lives. Hallelujah. Because we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We want to live right. We want to do right. We want to do whatever He wants done. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the promise that Jesus gave is they shall be filled. Ooh, praise our God. Amen. Sermon number one has been completed. Everybody say praise God. Genesis chapter number one, verse number 25, is where we're going to take our text from here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I got to preaching to the students the other morning, Wednesday morning, I guess it was, after a wonderful Tuesday at school. Amen. And come Wednesday morning, I started preaching for a little while. And hopefully we got a hold of things. Amen. Because I've been told, and you know, and you'll just have to blame, you know, Brother Lucas and Brother Jason or whoever told it to me, that it's all right for a pastor to preach whenever he wants to. Praise God. Amen. So, Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 25 tonight. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen. You may be seated again tonight. The title of my message here tonight is After His Kind. The emphasis on His with a capital H. Hallelujah. In other words, after Jesus, after His kind. Praise God. We have here in Genesis chapter 1 the reality of God's creation and how He created everything and how He created a male and female and how that man was created in the image of God. And because man was created in the image of God, then man could have fellowship with God. And he could be on God's plane and communicate with God. And thus, that's how he created Adam, and then he created Eve. And they were created in the image of God so that they could have fellowship with God, communication with God. They could meet with God in the cool of the day in the garden because they were one with God, created in the image of God. But you know the story just as well as I do. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, brought sin into the world, and thus that image was marred. That image was changed, and sin entered into the world, and sin and nature entered into Adam and Eve, and thus their fellowship with God became alienated. That's a terminology of the Bible. In other words, there was a separation there. It wasn't, and grab a hold of this, church. It wasn't that God wasn't there. And it wasn't that God didn't want to fellowship with them. But the alienation was on their part because they didn't want to be in the presence of God. They didn't want to go back to where that cool of the day and fellowship with God. They went and hid themselves, thinking they could hide from God. Wow. See, this is the depiction and the understanding and the reality that without God moving in our lives and leading us closer to Him, we'll want to stay away as far as we can and still know God, that He's real, and still know that He's created all things, still know this is His Word, but not wanting to be close to Him. Not wanting to be one with Him. A lot of people want to acknowledge God, but still call their own shots in their life, so to speak. They don't mind God on the side, if you will. But I'm going to do what I want to do with my life when I want to do it, but I want God to take me to heaven. So keep that in mind here. After His kind is what we're after. We're after restoration to what it was like before sin, before the fall. We're back to wanting to be created in the image of God. Because there's only one way that can transpire, and there's only one way that can happen now. Adam and Eve dropped the ball, so to speak. They messed it all up. And because they messed it all up, man suffered for thousands of years as God began to unveil the great plan of salvation. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He sent Him to die on Calvary. So that there could be a restoration of the image of God. That's what I'm wanting to deal with here tonight. Just a basic salvation message, if you will, that you and I need to make sure we wrap our minds around and cling to greatly, because this is what's going to help somebody else get saved. This is what's going to help somebody else know who God is. Because you've got to have the right plan of salvation to administer to people so that they can get the help God wants them to have. Hallelujah. You see, it's God's plan of salvation. It's not my plan of salvation. It's not your plan of salvation. It's God's plan of salvation. So we've got to administer it like God would have it. Hallelujah. And when Jesus come on the scene, and you know just as well as I do, it's not in my notes here tonight, but when Jesus came on the scene, he came preaching what? The kingdom of God, and what else? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. So repent. Turn from your own ways. Turn from your own thoughts and pay attention to the Son of God. Woo, hallelujah, because he's now walking the face of the earth. Here in John chapter number 3, verse number 3, Nicodemus, a learned man, Nicodemus, a man in prestigious places, a man in the religious realm, and he comes to Jesus. John chapter 3, verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Marvel not. Don't try to figure it out. Accept it. The biggest problem you and I will ever have with God and a relationship with God is the fact that we always try to figure out what God said instead of accepting it as God said it. Now think about that for a moment. Because when we try to process it through our own mind to figure it out and try to put it in a proper position of what we think it, do you realize where you just went? You went right back to Adam and Eve. You went right back to carnality. You went right back to self-life. But when you accept it as the authority God said, and so now I do whatever it takes to receive it or get it done. See, that's the difference between coming back to the image of Christ, coming back to created in God's image, or still trying to operate in the natural realm, the carnal realm, the Bible calls it, or the self realm, and figure it out myself. I mean, you just got to understand, when God saved me, and it filled me with the Holy Ghost, and when I began to seek God and want to learn about God, God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my mind. And he spoke to me by a spirit. He just told me, so you take everything you think you know and everything you've been taught about me and just wad it up like trash and throw it in the trash can and follow me. How many remember Paul's pedigree of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the Pharisees, taught probably above all men, the greatest religious leader the Hebrews probably had known outside of Gamaliel. And he said, I counted it all as dung. It's not a matter of what you know before you meet Jesus. It's a matter of what he teaches you after you meet Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's why whatever you have conceived on your own needs to be put away and let the Spirit of God begin to teach you the things of the kingdom of God from the Word of God. Hallelujah. This is why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, because he's the one that quickens. He's the one that brings life. He's the one that administers truth. If I'm not filled with him and in a position of surrender to him, he's going to have a hard time leading me in anything.
because I'm always going to have my own thought on it. I'm always going to have my own pull on it. I'm always going to have the way I think it ought to be done. Woo. But it's got to be the way God wants it to be done. And this is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is sinful. That which is born of flesh is born in sin. But that which is born of the Spirit of God is that new image of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ was letting Nicodemus, it's more than you've ever imagined in your mind what God wants to do in your life. He wants to regenerate you. He wants to make your life new like it used to be for Adam and Eve, to where you can fellowship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wow. That triune God working together in this great plan of salvation. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 3, verse number 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Being put back into that position of fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. Now you've got to understand that there's a reference here when Peter said, but by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is very highly possibility. He's not talking about this Word. He's talking about the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being born again. See, there's that terminology again. Peter reestablishing by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's a statement of none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living Word. Hallelujah. And I realize this is the living Word also. They are not separate. Jesus Christ is the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word is Jesus Christ. The reality here then that it's through the power of God being justified by His grace. In other words, it's the grace of God that hath appeared to all men. That's God coming to us. God coming to us. God reaching to us. Don't receive that grace in vain. Don't take that grace for granted. Use it to catapult yourself into that new image of Jesus Christ, to walk with Him and to know Him, that you might be created after His kind. You see, there's got to be regeneration in the life of an individual to be created after His kind, to have that divine nature and to become a partaker of that divine nature. There's got to be a spiritual regeneration, a spiritual birth. And Nicodemus, he was just looking at it through the natural eyes. How does a man go back into his mother's womb? No, Nicodemus, you're missing it altogether. You don't understand yet the power of an almighty God to come down and take all that wretchedness and all that past sin and wash it white as snow and make it clean. Hallelujah. And create a clean heart in us, and thus then put in a new spirit within us, a new creature in Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And what is that? That's that new creature created in the image of Christ. Ooh. After His kind. Born again by the Spirit of God. Regenerated. A brand new beginning. I just started living. I got me a brand new life. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. That's what salvation is all about. That's what conversion is all about. Now, I've got something I want to share with us here tonight. Quickly. Speedily. But slowly. Amen. What Spiritual Regeneration Is Not, by D.L. Moody. Let me just say, before I go any further, what regeneration is not. It is not going to church. How many men think that they are converted because they go to church? I come in contact with many men who say they are Christians because they go to church regularly. It is a wrong idea that the devil never frequents any place but billiard halls, saloons, or theaters. Wherever the Word of God is preached, he is there. He is in the audience today. You may go to church all the days of your life and yet not be converted. Going to church is not being born again. But there is another class who say, I don't place my hopes in going to church. I have been baptized. And I think I was regenerated when that took place. Where do those persons get their evidence? Certainly not in the Bible. You cannot baptize men into regeneration. If you could, I'd go up and down the world and baptize every man, woman, and child. And if I could not do it while they're awake, I'd do it while they were sleeping. But the Word says, except a man be born again, born in the Spirit, born in righteousness from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God, nor enter the kingdom of God. There is another class who say, I was born again when I was confirmed. I was confirmed when I was 5 years old. But confirmation is not regeneration. A new birth must be the work of God and not the work of man. Baptism, confirmation, and other ordinances are right in their place, but the moment you build hope on them instead of on the new birth, you are being deceived by Satan. Another man says, this is not what my hope is based upon. I say my prayers regularly. I suppose there was no man prayed more regularly than Paul did before Christ met him. He was a praying man. But saying prayers is one thing, and praying is another. Saying prayers is not conversion. You may pray from education. Your mother may have taught you when you were a little boy. I remember that I could not go to sleep when I was a little boy unless I said my prayers, and yet perhaps the very next word I uttered might be an oath. There is just as much virtue in counting beads as in saying prayers, unless the heart has been regenerated and born again. There is another class who say, I read the Bible regularly. Well, reading the Bible is very good, and prayer is very good in its place. But you don't see anything in the Scriptures which says, except a man read the Bible, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's still another class who say, I am trying to do the best I can, and I will come out all right. That is not new birth at all. That is not being born of God. Trying to do the best you can is not regeneration. This question of new birth is the most important that ever came before the world, and it ought to be settled in every man's mind. Everyone should inquire, have I been born of the Spirit? Have I passed from death unto life? Or am I building my hopes of heaven on some form? In the first chapter of Genesis, we find God working alone. He went on creating the world alone. You understand what he's saying here. We weren't there. We didn't help him create it. He created it alone. Then we find Christ coming to Calvary alone. None of the disciples died there. You didn't die there. I didn't die there. Christ died alone. His disciples forsook him, and in redemption, he was alone. And when we get to the third chapter of John, we find the work of regeneration is the work of God alone.
We are born in sin, and the change of heart must come from God. We believe in the good old gospel. What regeneration is not. Hallelujah. It's not anything that we can do by ourselves. It's not anything we can accomplish through our efforts. No matter how much we pray, unless we're praying for regeneration. Hallelujah. And we don't know many, many times how to pray. I was raised in church all my life till I was about 18 years old. Every Sunday. I could probably count on one hand how many Sundays I missed in 18 years. Every Sunday. Unless I was sick in the bed, I went to church. No matter how deep the snow may have been, we just went. We've always been that way. We just went. But I wasn't regenerated. I could say all the right things. I could quote all the creeds. I really didn't even know how to pray. All we had was pre-written prayers. And we only, so sad, but the only time we prayed through the later years of my teenage years was when it was time to eat. And whether it was morning or noon or night, we said the exact same prayer. It was a quoted prayer out of a book. But we did it faithfully for 18 years of my life. But that didn't bring regeneration. Nothing that transpired in those 18 years of my life brought regeneration. But they were good things. I am thankful for my heritage. I am thankful for the training, the teaching that I've got. But none of that brought regeneration. Regeneration comes from God and God alone. Hallelujah. And it is the work that Christ died for, so that all men and women could be created after His kind, fresh and anew. That's God's plan of salvation. Not that we could try to make our way to heaven and be just as good as we could try to be. No. There's regeneration available. There's the cleansing of the heart available. There's the new creature available. There's the power of the Holy Ghost available. There's God's Word available. Hallelujah. Once I'm regenerated, once there's newness of life, the Word of God, I see the kingdom. That's what the Scripture says. I see the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? It's right here. It's written in these pages. Hallelujah. I see the kingdom. I see how real God is. And He becomes the one I fellowship with. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Jesus Christ is the one I go through and I go by. And the Holy Ghost is the one that works it all out within me. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." See, there's the divine nature after His kind. See, before we are regenerated, we do not have any divine nature. We have a sinful nature, a selfish nature. But when Jesus Christ washes away past sins, creates a new creature inside of us, this is the process of regeneration. Now we become partakers of a divine nature. We have a desire now, a hunger, a thirst after righteousness. Hallelujah. And as long as we continue to hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will grow and we will learn
And we will become more after His kind. After His kind. Ephesians 4:21, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that means the former life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the carnal nature, the sin nature, the lustful nature, the selfish nature, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Holy Ghost quickening the word, and we begin to walk after His kind. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that she put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, we get an advantage. Wow. We get an advantage. Through Jesus Christ, we get an advantage because now we can put on a new man. Now we can enter into the throne room of God. Now we can enter into fellowship with God. Now we can hear from God on a personal level, a personal plane, just us and God and His Word and His Spirit. Hallelujah. And then God gave pastors and evangelists and teachers so that we could learn more and more. Hallelujah. We have the advantage over the enemy, over the lust of the flesh, over the old life, if we'll take advantage of the advantage. Wow. Do you realize sometimes that we don't like to take advantage of things that make life easier? Sometimes we just want to do it the old way. Jason was just telling me about some electricians that's got a project to do on a project he's doing. And I think, if I understood him right, he offered them a little excavator to help dig their hole. And they said, oh, no, we'll just dig it by hand. Fine. That's great. There they had opportunity to make life easier and life better. And they chose to do it the hard way. I've done that a time or two myself. A little hard work never hurt anybody. I was raised on a farm. I was raised on a pretty good sized farm. I was raised on a farm, and I in a particular era of time where, at one point in time, there wasn't such a thing called an auger. The only thing you won't know what an auger is. Let me give you just a little refresher here. An auger is a tube with a spiral blade in it, with an electric motor on it. And you stick it down in soybeans or wheat or any type of grain, and you plug it in, and it moves it up that tube and dumps it out where the end of the auger is. So you don't have to... Well, I was at that age where most of the time it was this. Woo! I'd like to take some of these young boys and take them to the farm and show them how I did it when I was their age. And walk them through the 2 miles of road in the pastures that have 2 paths of gravel for your tires to drive on. And I laid every bit of it down with a shovel off the back of a truck. Didn't do it with a skid steer. Didn't do it with an automatic dump truck and drive forward. I did it with a shovel all 2 miles of the way. Several times. Because as you know, you drive over gravel, for whatever reason, it disappears. So we did it with gravel the first time. There's 2 miles. Next time, we did it with that ash from PSO over at Hooligaw. The second time, 2 more miles. And then there's always touch-up. We ground our own feed with a mill that hooked behind a tractor. We pull that mill up to the side of the bin that stores the feed, and 120 corn. To another bin. And they finish out with oats. And that's until the mixer fills all the way to the top and then comes down. That means it's full. If you've ever shoveled oats, oh. Hard work never hurt anybody. I'm thankful I was raised that way, Sister Cisneros. Because it made me strong. It made me healthy. There's no telling how much dust has went in these lungs. And guess what? Just as soon as it goes in, it comes right back out. They have to cough a time or two, but it comes on back out. Amen. I don't know why I got off on that rabbit trail, but the reality is work. Work. Opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity you have. School, to learn a new trade. Someone wants you to work for them. Pay attention and learn how to do it so then you can do it yourself. See, it's just all there. And I said all that because you and I have great opportunity to be spiritual men and women, to be strong in the power of His might, to be strong in His word, to be able to stand on truth because He is with us and He has created us after His kind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, abides in here. Glory. We've got to understand who we are and what He has done for us. And when the devil comes knocking, stand right up, square on your feet, and let Him know who you belong to and that you're not going for sin, you're going for righteousness. Hallelujah. Because you have the advantage. God lives inside of you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's given you a new man, a regeneration, an infilling of the Holy Ghost, not to just bless me, but to empower me. Praise God. Romans 8:1. Therefore there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, He didn't have any sin, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, He became flesh. He became one of us. Grab a hold of this. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the new man, the new creature. Regeneration. Hallelujah. For to be carnally minded is death. If I've got to do it my way and I'm getting self-willed and I'm getting prideful, that's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, thank God for peace. To be spiritually minded is when God says it's going to be okay. Then I relax and I believe Him. And that's peace. That's peace. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's why there must be regeneration. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. There must be regeneration.
there must be newness of life. There must be a born-again experience to where I'm born after Him. Praise God. That's the advantage we have through Christ Jesus. That is the salvation Christ died for. And I'm going to close with 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked, after His kind. I walk after His kind. I walk as He walked. I walk as He walks. Present. It's just like when He taught His disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Praise God. I must be born after His kind. I must have regeneration in my life. I've got to be born of God. Hallelujah. Or I will not be able to be an overcomer. I will not be able to understand any of the depth, the length, the height of the kingdom of God, because I won't even really see it. I hear about it, and I'm closing as somebody's coming to the piano. I can hear about it, and it will puzzle me, because I've been there. I understand it. As I sat in that Pentecostal church, and I would see God moving, and I would hear testimonies of saints, I couldn't see it. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't get a hold of it. I couldn't get a reality on it, Brother Larry. I couldn't figure it out. Oh, wow. Any of my school students know, if I can't figure something out, I don't stop until I do. I come up to Isaac's desk. He said, "I cannot find this. I've read this over and over and over. But I know when you come over here, you're going to read it and you're going to find it." I said, "Oh, really?" "Yep." And I did. I just read right there, you know, third paragraph, right in the middle, right there. Yeah. But when it came to salvation, that availed nothing. It's kind of like a story. Actually, it was a vision. It was a dream that a young man had. And he was trying to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And he would pray. And I mean, he would just get right there, Brother Larry. The power of God be moving on him. He knew it was the power of God. He knew it was the power of God. He was just right there at the door. But he couldn't go any further. He just could never get any further. And then he told me. He said, "Brother Pepper, one." I said, I had a dream. I've had it twice," he said. He said, I in my dream, I realized God's trying to lead me, and He's leading me. He said, "But I come up to a wall." He said, "I go over to the side of this wall, and I try to look around, and I can't see anything. And I'll go to the other side of this wall, because there's a barrier wall there," and he could go to each side. "And I'd go to the other side, and I'd try to see around, and," he said, "I couldn't see anything." And he said, "I don't understand what God is trying to tell me." And the Spirit of the Lord just quickened in my heart. And I said, "Brother," I said, "what God's trying to show you is no matter how hard you try, you're not going to figure it out. God doesn't want you to go around the wall. And He's not going to let you know what's on the other side of the wall.
He just wants you to go over the wall. To my knowledge, he never went over the wall. He's lost today. He's backslid. He just couldn't take that step of faith to go on over the wall so God could do the work. He wanted to be able to be in control of it. But God's the one, and God alone, that has to be in control. And when we give God control, we're like the psalmist David. I have leaped over the wall. I have run through the troop. Glory. Oh, just like the psalm said, though 1,000 fall beside me, I will not be harmed. Woo, glory to God. What is that? That is spiritual regeneration. That is faith in God. That is turning it all over to God. Hallelujah. So that it can all be done after His kind. That His will can be done in my life. Jesus Christ set the standard in Gethsemane. Brother Cisneros made mention of it Sunday night. Not my will, but thy will be done. When we get to that place, that's when heaven's... That's when my eyes will open. That's when my heart swung wide the doors thereof. And I am crying out, God, come in. God, come in. Because that's where God took me. At 23 years of age, couldn't figure it out. That's one thing I never figured out, Brother Larry. I just never figured it out. But I just had to come to the place and realize I ain't going to figure it out until He shows me. I went to that altar of prayer, and I've shared this before, but I'm just sharing it tonight again. I went to that altar of prayer. I literally said, God, I do not know and I do not understand what it is you're trying to tell me or what you want to do with me. I said, I just can't, I don't know. But God, whatever it is, I want you to do it. Wow. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. And when I asked Him to do it, with no, whatever it is, God, I want it. He showed me all my sin and brought me to devastation. And I wept and I cried for mercy and I didn't say a word. And then nothing but newness flooded my soul. And I knew. Couldn't tell you what it was, Brother Larry. Didn't know the terminology. There is no doubt in my mind and in my heart, God had just done something inside of me like never before in my entire life. And I got up from that altar of prayer and I knew I was right with God. I knew I had newness of life. I knew something had changed inside of me and nobody had to tell me about it at all. They had to give me the definition of it. You got born again, Brother Pepper. You were regenerated by the Spirit of God. You got a new creature created inside. I didn't know any of that, but I knew I was saved and in a right relationship with God because He had come inside. And I knew He had. Woo, hallelujah. And I've loved every minute of it since then. Glory. Woo! Praise be to God. Because that's what I had been looking for all my life. I had been looking for a right relationship with God, a real relationship with God. But nobody had ever been able to take me to that place until that Pentecostal church. Woo! where the Spirit of God was moving, and it began to work and pull down all the strongholds of the enemy in my mind to where I could come to a place of humility and say, God, whatever it is, I want it. I want it. Ooh, glory. Ask and you shall receive. I believe that 100%. Glory to our God. Stand with me if you would. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this advantage. I thank you, Lord, for this grand and glorious plan of salvation. I thank you for the power of your Spirit that regenerates. And I thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, that I can have my sins washed away and I can have a new creature created inside of me. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you keep us, you watch over us, and you lead us, and you shape us, you mold us, you reveal your kingdom unto us. God, truly you are great, and you are gracious, and your mercy, oh Lord, thank you that it's renewed every morning, because we need your help every step of the way. As we walk on the face of this earth, when sin is all around us, and the enemy is gaining ground, Lord, we want to stand strong, and we want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Father in heaven, I pray, strengthen your children here tonight. And Lord, if there'll be one in the sound of my voice that has not experienced this regeneration, that your Holy Ghost would move right there, right now. Lord, this very night. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to our God. That newness of life might be birthed after his kind. Glory. Lord,
you stood for me.
Hallelujah. These altars are open, church.